Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the 2015 third quarter results presentation. Ignacio Colmenares, CEO of the company, will conduct the presentation. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to our third quarter results conference call. I'm here today with our CFO, Alfredo Avello, our Capital Markets Head, Rafa Enrico, and our IR, Rocío Recio. Let me first of all present with Alfredo our results. Later, we'll be pleased to answer your questions. You may download the presentation from our website. Let's start with the main highlights of the third quarter on slide number two. We have achieved an adjusted EBITDA of 141 million euros during the first nine months of the year, thanks to the strong demand environment, FX, and our cost management. We are on track to achieve our 200 million target for 2015. At the same time, we have generated an unleveraged operating cash flow of 85 million euros during the first nine months of this year. During this quarter, we have completed a successful financial restructuring of the company, ring-fencing its two businesses, pulp and energy. Our management efforts continue to focus on reducing cash costs. We have achieved a cash cost of 363 euros per ton in the quarter, with Navia already below 345 euros per ton, despite the effects of the ramp-up in July. We believe we can achieve a target of 333 by the end of 2016 and our original target of 339 euros per ton for 2015 year-end is delayed until the end of first half 2016. We continue to enjoy a favorable pulp price environment, and the strong dollar benefits our top line. Finally, Pontevedra's license renewal is on track. We still believe we will have a positive conclusion of the process before year-end. Let's now go to slide three. Our total sales in the first nine months rose to 487 million euros, with an adjusted EBITDA of 141 million euros. We will continue to improve on these results during the rest of 2015, thanks to cash cost reduction, good pulp prices, and good FX. Net profit for the first nine months is 35 million euros. Following with slide number four, you can see our EBITDA in the quarter is 56 million euros. Due to a positive US-euro evolution, our cost reduction efforts, the increasing contribution of the biomass plants, a higher pulp production volume, and improved pulp prices. We are implementing an active policy of hedging our US dollar exposure to protect our revenues. We have covered 50% of our exposure for the next 18 months with a tunnel between 107 and 115. Today, we believe we can exceed our EBITDA target of 200 million euros for 2015. I don't foresee any risks that can change this target for even next year, 2016. Let's now go to slide number five. We are generating a strong net operating cash flow with a very high conversion ratio from our EBITDA. This has allowed us to reduce group net debt to 257 million euros. We will maintain our asset disposal program, which will further strengthen our cash generation profile during the following quarters as we continue to increase our EBITDA, reducing costs. In slide six, we explain the successful ring-fence of our pulp and energy businesses. We have reduced our financial costs by more than 187 basis points, thanks to a new bond and 110 basis points in our project finances. we have also increased our available cash by 30 million euros in our energy business, and we have improved the general conditions and adjusted guarantees of all our debt. In slide 7, we show our cash cost evolution. Let me reiterate that we maintain our focus on decreasing cash costs. We had 365 per ton in the first 9 months of 2015. We have managed to decrease cash costs in Navia to less than 345 euros per ton in the third quarter, despite the July ramp-up after capacity increase. We have also introduced a new pricing policy for our wood suppliers. This policy will introduce flexibility in the contracts linking wood prices to the pulp price. This has reduced the pace of cost reduction in wood over the short term, but it will introduce a variable component in the cash cost, which will benefit the company in the future. We continue working with consultants to introduce improvements that will reduce the cash cost on the next months. Our cash cost target for the end of first half 2016 is 339 and 333 by 2016 year end. The graph in slide number 8 positions ENCE among European cash cost leaders of the pulp industry and globally second only to the Brazilian suppliers. More than 50% of the suppliers of pulp to Europe have a higher cost than ENCE. 80% of any paper production can be done using either hard or softwood. In slide 10, I would like to highlight the very good pulp price evolution during the last quarters. This improvement is even better when we take the currency into consideration. We think this environment will continue, as I will explain later. We have implemented a hedging program, as I told you before, to protect our revenues in euro terms. Let me finish this part of the presentation with a short comment about the pulp market environment, slide number 10. There is a solid demand for eucalyptus pulp related to growth of tissue consumption, not only in Asia, but also in the Western world. There is no overcapacity in pulp production in China. That is not the case for other commodities like steel. New capacities will be absorbed by the incremental demand we are seeing. Pulp prices nominated in dollars are already higher in Asia, Middle East, and US markets than in Europe. Therefore, pulp prices are strong, and we believe they will continue to be strong. In slide number 11, you can see how pulp prices are evolving versus other commodities. We think the situation will continue due to the increasing paper and tissue demand of Chinese and other Asian middle classes. The growth in urban areas in the region is increasing the demand for tissue and graphic paper. We have seen growth during the year of more than 12% in bleached hardwood kraft pulp consumption, and this trend will continue in the future. If you go to slide number 12, you may see the expectation from the middle class evolution in China and India. This pattern will be probably similar in other countries like Indonesia, Philippines, and even Brazil. We believe the global pulp consumption will continue to increase as living standards improve worldwide. This middle class growth is a huge driver behind pulp consumption that will allow prices to remain strong for the future. Now, I would like to let our CFO explain our first half results in more detail.
Thanks, Ignacio. Ladies and gentlemen, let me please explain how our two business units have evolved during these first 9 months. Starting with the pulp business, sales have increased by 19% compared to those of 2014, mainly due to a more favorable exchange rate and pulp prices environment, as well as better production rates. production increased by some 1%, even though it is penalized by a longer-than-expected maintenance stop of 21 days versus 12 days in 2014 in order to execute the efficiency and capacity increase investments. Adjusted for this impact, production would have improved by 3%. Turning into page 16, the adjusted pulp business EBITDA of 116 million euros represents 82% of the total 141 million adjusted EBITDA level of the company, and almost a 300% increase with respect to 2014. Adjusted EBITDA margin increased from 6% up to 28%, supported by the positive execution of the competitiveness recovery plan, a strong worldwide demand driving prices up, as well as the positive exchange rate environment. With respect to the energy business in page 18, sales have increased by 74% from 41 million euros up to 71 million euros, pushed by higher production rates due to the contribution of the Mérida and Huelva plants, as well as 26% higher pulp prices compared to those of 2014. Just to remember, ENCE follows a conservative financial policy materialized in the implementation of a hedging program over pulp prices for 75% of the energy generation of the fourth quarter at 49 euros per megawatt hour and 27% of the expected generation for the first half of 2016 at 46 euros per megawatt hour. As you can observe in page 19, all this positive operating behavior is translated into a 123% EBITDA increase, supported by the new plant additions, as well as higher income by megawatt hour, going from 140 euros up to 155, also pushing the EBITDA margin of our energy business from 27% in 2014 up to 35% now. In page 21, let me please update you on our efficiency investment program running through 2017 with a 30,000 tons capacity increase in Pontevedra. Most of our four-year payback investments in Navia have been executed during its 2015 maintenance stop, as well as phase one of the 40,000-ton capacity increase for a total of 20,000 tons. Annual expected savings of this program will be 8.6 euro per ton in 2016, increasing up to 10.5 per ton in 2017, highly supported by Poiri, Andrich, and Falconi as reputed technicians and industry consultants hired at the beginning of the year to drive to success our cash cost targets. Also, our operating team has been strengthened with knowledgeable individuals from the industry, both at Navia and Pontevedra. This cash cost reduction will represent yearly savings of 10.5 million euros on a recurrent basis. Going now to page 22, and as previously expressed, initial calendar for cash cost reduction has experienced some six-month delay. Navia ramp-up in July after the capacity increase investment has been longer and some more difficult than initially expected. Also, initially planned reductions on the wood price have changed due to strategic negotiations to automatically link the wood price to the pulp price evolution. Currently, 15 euros per ton are included in our cash cost due to this new pricing structure because of the high price of the pulp. This will automatically disappear if the price is reduced. Cash cost targets of below 340 euros per ton on a first phase remain, as well as close to the 330 euros per ton on the second phase. Actually, our Navia mill already runs at first phase target levels. Now our efforts will also concentrate in Pontevedra once four-year payback and capacity increase investments are being made. Having said all this, as previously stated by our CEO, our target of 200 million euros adjusted EBITDA level for 2015 remains. strong cash flow generation drive us to a total net debt position of 257 million euros, as shown in page 24. This total net debt position has been reduced by 23 million euros, from 178 down to 155 on the pulp business, and by 4 million euros, from 106 million euros down to 102 on the energy business. This 28 million euros net reduction has been achieved even after a 25 million euro dividend payment and a 25 million early redemption of the former bond issued in 2013. The company maintains a high liquidity position of 228 million euros of availability with a conservative long-term debt profile, mainly composed by 135 million euros project finance facility refinanced in July 2015 and maturing in 2025, a 250 million euros unsecured bond recently refinanced in October, maturing in 2022, and a 90 million euros RCF fully undrawn, also recently refinanced in October and maturing in 2020. This liquidity position is enhanced by our asset disposal program, updated in page 25, through which, as of today, ENCE has already cashed 18 million euros, of which almost 11 were cashed in October and November, related to the sale of energy crops and real estate assets. We expect to receive additional cash of 14 million euros in December, from which we have already received advances of 1.7 million euros. Progress on the negotiations of another 18 million euros related to the Huelva pulp mill assets are also expected prior to year end. Remaining 44 million euros of book value assets will be sold in year 2016. Now, let me please give back the lead of the presentation to our CEO.
Thank you, Alfredo. In slides 26 and 27, let me summarize the main points of the presentation. We had a very strong EBITDA in the quarter, increasing the cumulative figure to 141 million euros, on track to achieve our 200 million euros target for this year. We have generated 85 million euros on unleveraged operating cash flow, increasing liquidity up to 218 million euros, and reducing our net debt to last 12 months EBITDA down to one time in the pulp business and three times in the energy business. We maintain our focus on cost cutting. Cash cost target is maintained within an adjusted time frame of 6 months. We believe pulp prices will remain strong. We have implemented a currency hedging program to reduce currency risks for the company. We have successfully ring-fenced our two separate businesses to make them financially independent with new project finance and a new bond. And finally, we believe we will obtain Pontevedra's concession renewal before the end of this year. Thank you very much. We are now open to your questions.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. The question and answer session starts now. If you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you. I repeat, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. We have a first question from Roger Spitz from Bank of America Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Douglas Kessel filling in for Roger Spitz. My question was actually answered. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so we have another question from Jose Brito from BPI. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, hi, good afternoon. So on pulp prices, a couple of weeks ago, Aramco announced the pulp price cut of $20 per ton in China, and actually Siberia recently comments regarding pulp prices. They have been saying that the companies facing more difficult times to pass the last price increase to $830 per ton. What is your view on pulp prices? Do you still expect to reach the $830 per ton? That will be my first question. The second question on the wood costs, try to understand why wood costs increase in Q3 comparing with Q2. Was this due to the lower incorporation of own wood? What is your expectation regarding 2016? And regarding the renewal of the concession, the Pontevedra concession, what is still missing to reach the green line? And could the government election expected for this year in Spain, could this be a trigger, positive or negative? I'm not sure. That's why I'm basically asking. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much, José Lito. I will answer to you directly questions number one and three, and Alfredo will answer number two, because I haven't understood that very well because of the noise on the line. Regarding pulp prices, well, we announced it, as you know, at the end of August, 830. In October, all our sales with non-PIX contracts have been at 820, and we are pushing for the 830 now in November. Despite a hard landing in China, we believe the environment will remain positive for pulp demand and pulp prices. Although Caterpillar, steel and coal sales are declining in China, as you know, retail sales and services are growing at two digits, like pulp. Why? Because tissue and graphic papers demand are growing in China. Worldwide new capacity additions are limited and will be compensated with new demand coming from Asia, as I have told in the presentation. Temporary difficulties of China. It's true that our competitors in China are facing some problems now in November. Well, those temporary difficulties of China are being offset by problems in Latin America with production because of weather conditions. You know, problems of drought and problems of dams. Then we are not concerned at all with any price reduction on the next months. Increase of quality of life will be a driver of prices up during the following years, and this is shown in the strong demand trends. The demand is there, and the demand is still quite strong, and the demand will remain strong. Regarding Pontevedra, we know that the report from the Junta de Galicia, the local government, is positive. We know it has been already sent to the Ministry of Agriculture and Medio Ambiente to Madrid. We have already calculated the new fees of the license with the Ministry of Medio Ambiente, and we think on the next 2 or 3 weeks everything will be solved and we will have a new concession for between 50 and 60 years. 5060. Alfredo, could you answer?
Regarding your question number two, if I didn't understand it wrongly, you were talking about wood cost. Remember what we said, if you attend, and I think you did, Jose, on the last call of the second quarter. Initially, we were trying to push down the prices of the wood constantly, even to just to reduce it. But at some point, we thought it was much more smart to change the strategy and to negotiate a variable component on the wood. This variable component would mean that if the price of the pigs keeps on going up, certain premiums over the wood price would automatically go up. On the contrary, if the pigs price goes down, this variable component will automatically go down without any kind of negotiation.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't understand your question, José Lito. Yeah, on the price structure agreed today with all our suppliers, there is, at the prices of today of the pulp, 15 euros of higher cash cost than if the pulp prices would be around $720. That means that today we have not been able to reduce a certain amount of cash cost in wood because we have introduced this flexible price of the wood linked to the pulp prices, when today, as fortunately, the prices of the pulp are good, we are paying a bit more by the wood. But if the pulp goes down, the price of the wood will automatically go down. I think I have answered to all your questions, Rosarito.
Okay, thank you. So on the wolf, basically I was looking at the wolf cost per cubic meter in the quarter and comparing with the second quarter, but I think that the increase is related with this variable part that you just mentioned, right?
Yes, thank you very much.
Okay, so and also related with wolves, what is your expectations going forward in 2016? So basically on your forecast of cash cost reduction to 339, what is the implied wolves cost that you have there?
Well, we are seeing wood on the cash cost stable for next year. We maintain, as I mentioned before, our targets for 2016 year-end, as I have said during the presentation, but we will delay by 6 months our 2015 year-end target. Our efficiency investments are working. We see stable wood because we see stable prices of the pulp. The operational improvements are being implemented slightly more slowly than originally expected, but we keep on the figure. Don't forget that half pulp prices, as we are mentioning, are penalizing wood prices because of the linkage. As I told to you, the impact in cash cost at today pulp prices is up to 15 euros per ton of pulp. However, we are still confident to achieve all our objectives in cash cost reduction.
Okay, thank you. And just one question also on the pulp prices. Don't you think that eventually if the US dollar continues to gain weight and ground to the euro, eventually we could see some pressures in Europe because of this? Recently we have been seeing the peak price coming from 811 to more or less 806. Could this be explained by the stronger US dollar? What is your view on this?
Well, I don't know the reason why the PIX price has been decreased by 4 or 5 euros on the last 2 weeks. I don't know why, because our company are not facing any problem in not only keeping the prices, but doing this increase from 810 to 200 to 830. I cannot tell you more.
So even if the US dollar goes to the to N, basically, you still think that the prices will be held at 830 US dollars?
Could you repeat, because we have a problem with your line. Could you repeat again this question?
Yes, I was asking if the US dollar goes to N, basically.
West
dollar.
The US dollar, yeah, okay.
Yes,
goes where?
To basically to when? If you think that the pulp prices will be held at 830.
No, as we have been seeing during all these year 2015, the prices of the pulp have been going up both in dollar and in euro because of this FX effect, and the market has accepted that. The market is global, and Europe is only 20-25% of the market pulp worldwide. And then if the market goes up in the other parts of the world, it will go also up here in Europe. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
So we have another question from Nuno Estacio from Haitong Bank. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi. Good afternoon, everyone. First question is on the cash costs. If you could help us understand why this is taking more time, and especially when in your presentation you show the monthly cash costs, we see that in September there is a huge decrease in the efficiency of both Navi and Pontevedra. If you could tell us what happened there and if there is some reason for worry, and where do you expect your cash cost to be in fourth quarter? So this would be the first theme. The second one is on free cash flow. This third quarter it was affected by some working capital events. How do you see this evolving during fourth quarter? And the final question is on the volumes. I think your expectations for volumes year-end were around 900,000 tons. It seems challenging to arrive to these numbers. How much are you expecting? looking to sell. And if the higher production versus sales this third quarter, there was any problem in shipping the capacity, or if this is something that will be reversed in next quarter. Thank you.
Okay, yeah. You have asked many, many questions. Well, regarding cash cost, if you go to slide number 7, as you were mentioning, well, when you are going down in cash cost, you have good months and bad months, and what is important is that the trend is going down. It's first time we disclose the cash cost month by month and mill by mill, and that is quite normal in what is happening on the company. What is important is that the cash cost is going down. What we wanted to show with this slide number 7 is that Navia had a very bad July because of this difficult ramp-up after the investment. You can see this high cost of Navia. Navia had a very good cost in August and had a worst cost in September. The cost of September has been affected in Navia because we lost 1.5 million euros of something regarding to the capacity of the mill to stop generation and the purchase of energy when the Minister of Industry asked that. And then that has been produced during the 9 months of the year, but we have to account that in September, when we knew that in September. And what is important, I insist, and the cash cost is more slowly than what we wanted, but the cash cost is going down. Then, if you remember how we were attacking this cost reduction after the energy reform, we had these investments, both in capacity and in productivity, with a good payback below 2 and below 4 years. That is going very well, and we are expecting we are getting every single euro we were expecting. We had this reduction of structure we did in our corporate structure at the end of last year that has been done. Regarding the operational improvements of a better yield with the wood, a better yield with the chemicals, a better consumption of energy per ton of pulp, all those things are going well, but they are going a bit more slowly than what we expected. We are pretty sure we are going to get the final figure, but it's taken a bit longer than what we expected. That's the only reason. And I would like to insist that when we gave you 3 quarters ago a guidance for cash cost for this year and for this year end, after that we changed the policy price, and we think it's a good thing for the company to have a price of the wood flexible and linked to the pulp price, but that has a negative effect today when pulp prices are at very good level. And we think, although the effect is negative, we think it's a good thing. Regarding the cash flow, could you ask again your question, please?
It was in terms of working capital. The third quarter was there was an outflow, an important outflow of, I think it was roughly 30
yes,
million
sir.
Euros. And if this is expected to be reversed in fourth quarter, or what we can expect?
Regarding working capital, the main two drivers of the working capital of this company is the pulp price. When the pulp price is going up, the client's figure is going up, and that explains most of it. The second component of our working capital is related to some delay of the administration in paying us the energy on the energy business. We think that this should be going down through year end and would stabilize a lot. And looking at year 2016, if the main component is the pulp price and we see pulp prices steady, next year working capital figure should be much more stable in the equilibrium, in the break-even situation.
Regarding cash flow, I would like to take the opportunity, Nuno, to remind that we made a guidance of 100 million euros free cash flow for 2016, and it's going to be like that with two exceptions. We are going to pay 10 million euros more of dividends than what we thought two quarters ago, you remember. because we decided to pay this dividend in July, and we have spent money on the bond redemption and the new bond fees. We didn't expect to do that 6 months ago. With those 34 million euros invested in the dividend and in the bond redemption and the new bond fees, we are in 100 million euros of free cash flow this year. The application of this free cash flow is going to reduce debt.
Okay, so this means that you will generate roughly 30-40 million euros in fourth quarter alone?
So we have a problem with the line with Portugal today. Could you ask that again?
30-40 million euros free cash flow in fourth quarter, that is what you are meaning?
No, no, I am meaning 64 million euros of free cash flow in the year after paying those extra well, all the dividends and the bond redemption and the new bond fees.
Okay. And on the because in the cash costs, I have also asked if you could give us an indication of what you are seeing for fourth quarter, for the average of fourth quarter, and other volumes. Thank you.
Well, we are going to continue reduce cash costs. I think cash cost is going to be between 5 and 10 euros less than on the third quarter. And regarding volumes, well, October has been fantastic, and November is going very well. That means that we are going to, if everything goes like that, volumes are going to be higher than on the third quarter. But you know, when you are working very hard in reducing cash cost and in increasing volume, well, you can have maybe 1.5 months very good, and maybe you have 10 days of problems, and then everything is not so good. Then I prefer to don't give a formal guidance. Okay.
Okay, thank you.
So we have another question from Chris Ellis from Babson Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Can you just talk a bit more about the Pontevedra concession? So does that mean the litigant who challenged the concession, they haven't gone through the judicial review that they said they must do by the end of October? And why do you think it will be done within 2 or 3 weeks' time? What is stopping it?
No, nothing is stopping anything. As we have mentioned different times, that is not a political process. It is an administrative process. And according to this administrative process, as you may remember, after the court gave us the reason regarding that we don't have to leave Pontevedra in July, a few days after, we asked again to the Ministry of Medio Ambiente and Agricultura the extension of the concession, and then everything restarted again with some times who are according to law. Then the local government of Galicia, Pontevedra, has 3 months to send this report to Madrid, and as we know today, the report is positive and is flying from Galicia to Madrid, and we expect that to be in Madrid early next week, and all the administrative issues with the ministry have been already agreed, and then there is nothing who can stop that, and then we believe that on the next 2-3 weeks we will have the extension of the concession.
Okay, so you're just waiting for Madrid now to formally approve the extension?
Yes, yes, and you have to take into account that Madrid has modified the law 3 years ago in order we can have the, well, us and other companies can have the extension. Then we don't see any major problem. Okay.
Okay, and do you know what terms it will be on? Because at the moment it's on very, very low annual lease payments, isn't it?
Yeah, we expect an increase of the lease. According to the new law, this increase can be between 1 and 4 million euros per year. And, well, we still don't know how they are going to put that, 1 or 3, 2, 3 or 4. Okay?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
So we have another question from Alberto Sanchez from Fidentiis. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, good afternoon. I had a couple of questions. One of them has been already answered. The other one is just a clarification on divestments. On page 25, you show 50 million of divestments in 2015. I just wanted to know how much have been collected in Q3, how much has been already collected in Q4, in October or early November, and how much is expected to be collected from now to the year end. Thank you.
You're talking about the divestiture program or the investment program? I didn't get that, Roberto.
Divestments.
Okay. As we were saying, up to today, what I mean up to today, this includes October and November, we have already cashed some 18 million euros. Yeah? Of those 18, 11 are cashed in October and November. We have promissory contracts on energy crops for another 14 million euros, and we have cash advances of 1.7 million euros on those promissory contracts. We expect to execute those contracts and to cash all those 14 million euros before year-end. And regarding the Huelva facilities, we are in negotiations with a party in order to be able to reach an agreement also prior to year-end. Regarding the Huelva facilities, we're talking about the pulp facilities, not the energy facilities, combined cycle that we have there, that will be that we are also negotiating, but this goes some more slower. Basically, if you add the 50 million euros that you have in page 25 to the 44, you can see that we are exceeding the book value. The 44 million euros that you have on the right-hand side of that chart is the book value of the remaining assets that we are still negotiating.
Okay, thank you.
So we have no other questions, sir.
Well, thank you very much for your attention and your time, and I hope to give you also good results on this quarter and to be with you by the end of January, early February. Thank you very much. And all of you are invited, as you know, to our Investor Day to be held on next week. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes the conference call. Thank you all for your participation. You may now disconnect.